for all of you who are friends of, fans of, certainly appreciators of Stefan Verstappen, he's back tonight. And I know a lot of you were worried. I got some emails from people. He was stricken. Oh, I don't know. We'll let him tell the story, but he's doing well. He said he's up and ready to go. And so let's welcome Stefan back. Hello, my friend. How goes it? Seriously, you're doing as well as you said? You're
yes,
not putting
I am,
on
Jeff.
A happy face? You're doing okay. All right.
No, I'm not putting on a happy face. I'm like, it's like I told the doctors at the hospital. I said, I'm like Wolverine. I have miraculous healing properties.
Very good.
I'm ready to go home now. They wouldn't let me go. They said, no, you're going to have a heart attack if you go now. So,
now, you had an attack, so to speak, of congestive heart failure. You want to describe that for people, what that is, so they'll know? A lot of people hear the term, but I don't think they really understand what it is.
Well, I still don't understand what it is that clearly. It was Wednesday night. I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't breathe. And I had to really gasp for air.
Right.
And the next day, Dixie. Everybody knows Dixie now. She called me in the morning.
We're saying that in the best possible sense of the terminology.
Yes.
Everybody loves Dixie. Okay.
Everybody loves Dixie. You got that right. So, she called me. She says, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm feeling okay. Well, you know, I'm always putting on a brave face. It doesn't matter anyways, right?
But you really didn't feel. How were you? Give us your symptoms again. What did you really feel like at that moment? What was going on? Pain in your chest, hard to breathe, lack of oxygen, aches. What was going on?
Well, I had a pain in my chest for a few days a week earlier.
Uh-huh.
But I know, because of my work with as an instructor for St. John Ambulance and for Red Cross, I know the symptoms of a heart attack. And the pain in my chest didn't match the symptoms of a heart attack. So I thought I'd go out and test it. So I did my bicycle ride into town, and then I came back and carried, 60 pounds worth of groceries and bicycle up three flights of stairs. And, I was winded, but, I thought, well, if I'm going to have a heart attack, this will do it, right?
Yeah.
But, it was like extreme fatigue. I couldn't breathe. It feels like you can't take a full breath, right? So when you breathe in and feel the air going all the way up to the top of your chest, and then, but I could not do that. It was like, it was just short puffs.
Okay.
And also extreme fatigue. So, I told Dixie, I'm fine. She said, if you can't breathe, you got to go to the hospital. I'm coming. I'll be there in 10 minutes. So she came in 10 minutes. Now, by the time I walked from my bedroom down the hall to my front door, I was exhausted. I could hardly stand up. And I'm dizzy. I couldn't catch my breath. I'm thinking, what's my blood oxygen level must be way down or something like that. And, going down the stairs, it was like, well, I had to stop at the second flight, sit down, catch my breath. And she drove me to the hospital. That first night.
Oops, you dropped out a little bit there, Stefan. Go back. That first night, and we lost you.
First night was terrible.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Hold on. We're dropping out again here. That first night was terrible, and you said we lost you again. If you're on a cell phone, turn 45 degrees in a different direction, or you're on a landline and it's dropping out like that. It shouldn't. All right, let's try it again. That first night.
They're messing with me, Jeff. I'm not kidding. Anyway, so the first night was terrible. And if it wasn't for Dixie insisting to take me to the hospital, I would not have gone. And she said, you're going to the hospital. I said, no, but I got the Jeff Wrench show tonight. And she said, you got to go. So I don't even know where the hospital is in this town. I don't know where anything is in this town.
Wow. Yeah.
So anyway, she drove me to the hospital, and when I got in there, my blood pressure was 257 over 183. They
Oh,
said
my.
that,
Oh,
yeah,
no.
they said you're going to have a heart attack or a stroke. So they put me on an ECG, one of these portable things, to strap me all up,
Yeah.
and started pumping drugs into me, giving me injections and pills. And I think they had me on like 6 liters of antibiotics intravenously. So I think the heart attack is the pneumonia. That pneumonia is what kills most people when they get it, right?
Okay.
I know. My mother, she had Alzheimer's, but what killed her was pneumonia. Get sick and then get the pneumonia. And
all right. Let me ask you to hold again. We got you about two-thirds of what you're saying, but one-third is not coming through.
Oh, that's
I'm wondering. Maybe try and just adjust the handset a little bit in your hand. Just maybe there's a short in the wire. I don't know. If this is a landline, that shouldn't be happening.
No, I don't have a handset. It's hooked directly to my computer.
Oh, it's one of those kind of strange things. All right, I get it.
Yeah,
you sound
I have
better
a,
now. Okay, now
I
it's
have a
working.
Modem.
Okay.
I have a modem.
That's not a
that,
normal telephone. It's not like a cell phone. It's VoIP, I believe. Voice over Internet Protocol.
Yes.
All right, okay. All right, you're good now. Let's try it again. Keep going.
Okay, so it was a very unpleasant evening.
Yeah, well, when
and,
they tell you you're either going to have a heart attack and die or a stroke and turn into a vegetable and die, that's not good. But 250, that's mind-boggling. That's explosive, literally.
257 over 183, yeah, that's what everybody was saying. Oh, my God, you know. So, but, Jeff, you know, I pride myself. I've never been to a doctor in my life. Well, once, 42 years ago, or did I just say this, to get a malaria vaccine for China.
Uh-huh.
And that was the last time I was ever at a doctor. I have a health card. You get a health card here in Canada.
Right.
And they scan my health card, and they're going, oh, there's something wrong with your health card. You have no record. I said, I know. I've never been to a doctor. They couldn't believe it. So, that was the situation. But, Jeff, you know, like I said, I've never been to a doctor in my life. And then suddenly this came up overnight.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Well, you know,
okay.
This sounds like... I don't know how lucky you've been all these years. Most people, they run to the doctor. You know the routine. You didn't run.
Yeah.
And yet this time, doctors came through. Without them, I dare say I'm projecting, but it doesn't sound like you would have made it unless there were doctors there to administer you the proper medications, the proper procedures. It does sound like they saved your life.
Yeah, I think so, too, because it was so bad that first night in the hospital. And if I had stayed home and not gone to the hospital, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. It was
well,
really
we probably
hard.
Wouldn't be talking now. That's where it is.
Yeah. You know, the good news, though, Jeff, is that, again, as I always advise to our listeners, to survive what's coming, you got to get out of the big cities. And so this is the hospital in the local small town that I live in. It's called Alexander Hospital. It's not like a small hospital. It's still pretty big, but it's in a small town. When I arrived at emergency, there was only one person ahead of me, and they were done in 5 minutes. So I was admitted immediately. Now, if I'd been in Toronto, and I had to go to Mount Sinai or St. Joseph's or something like that, your wait time to get into emergency is 6 to 14 hours. Because there would be, you know, 150 Somalians waiting ahead of you.
Got it.
In-
All right, we lost you at 150 simoleons. Now, hold on. Let's get you back here. I wonder, did you call into the studio or did Todd call you?
Todd called me.
All right. Todd, you think we should try and reconnect? I don't know how VoIP works. Oh, you're on Skype. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, Skype is rarely like this. It usually works pretty well. You think we should reconnect, Scott, or just leave it? Keep trying.
We can try.
All right. Go ahead and hang up, Stefan. We're going to reconnect.
Okay, I'm going to hang up.
Yeah. All right. Very good. You know that Western medicine is very problem-oriented for the patient. But if you break a leg or have something that's grievously, like Stefan had, life-threatening, they can step in and intercede and save a life. They can do that, and more power to them. When you look at Joe Tippins, on the other hand, $1.2 million, and they told him to go home and say his goodbyes. That's not medicine. And what he knows about and what he's shown that fenbendazole can do should be shaking this country to its foundations now. And every oncologist still above room temperature ought to be all over this thing. I'm not sure that they are. At any rate, thank goodness he was able to go. Thank goodness Daisy was able to get him to go. And I didn't. It was the same night. That's right. He was supposed to be here. This is 2 months ago now, I guess. All right, well, let's see what we get. Todd's reconnecting on Skype, not VoIP, unless VoIP means Skype in some other way of interpretation. I don't know. Are you there yet, Stefan? I'm still working on it. All right, there he is. Are you there?
I'm trying to call him on the phone.
Okay. We're trying to call you back now, Stefan, if you're listening. So I'm straightening out the ivermectin duplication of the URL. That will be fixed later on this evening when the webmaster gets back up. He's asleep now, and we'll get that fixed for you. But really important, and if you want the whole file with these both URLs in it, let me know, and I'll send it right to you. It's not a problem. Just send a request. Well, I hope we haven't lost him completely. Maybe he can call in to the studio. Sometimes that works. This is technology. It's not working right today like it usually does, but that's okay. Take a look at headlines and go through those. Big day today. Maybe a last chance effort to turn away from nuclear war. Russia offered Ukraine a very appropriate, from what I've gathered, looking it over carefully as much as I can, given the amount of information they've disclosed, plan to stop the war. And Zelensky has already completely rejected Putin's peace offer. No, it's not going to happen. So we're going to continue to move toward what appears to be almost an inevitable exchange of nuclear weapons. Perhaps it'll stay in Europe for openers, NATO, targets that are critical to the NATO infrastructure there. Remember, this whole thing happened because of the pending invasion of Ukraine by the Kiev regime, and the Russians had to go in and stop it before it happened. All right, Stefan, are you back?
Yes, I'm back, Jeff.
Oh, you sound better. All right.
Oh, okay, good.
So let's go back to the hospital, so to speak. And I thank Daisy while you were away again for getting you to go. I hadn't remembered it was the same night you were supposed to be on the program. So thank you for your loyalty.
Yeah, well, the night before, but
no, whatever.
Yeah. Right. And, Jeff, I want to thank you for sending me those emails. It really encouraged me. I really like that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm happy you were there to receive them. God.
Yeah. So
So the hospital was great. Like I said, if I was in a big city, you know, because we have so many refugees and so much diversity.
150,000 Somalians.
Yeah. That it would take you, you know, I've heard stories of people waiting 14 hours in emergency room just to get admitted.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And they lay there or they sit there and they're just miserable. Some of them are having heart issues, and they still make them sit there. Hard to believe.
Yeah, but because it's overwhelmed with refugees, and a lot of the times, I know because I've spoken to the doctors here, that a lot of times, like, the refugees will come into the hospital, they'll go to emergency room for, like, you know, a sniffle.
Correct. Yes, I've heard that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll clog it. I mean... Last time I was in the hospital was for my mother, and it was awful. It was just awful. It was just I couldn't see a single white person. And
you really couldn't? You really couldn't? That's gruesome.
The nurses, the doctors, everybody waiting in the emergency. Maybe there was one or two white people, but not really.
I get the picture.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're bringing them in by the millions now, you know, there in the United States. And here, they're flying them in. They're not even telling you about it, you know.
No.
And they're all refugees or asylum seekers. Well, I don't know how you can be an asylum
Many
seeker.
Many of them are diseased. Many of them have IQs less than they need to compete in a modern first world nation. They can't. We're talking 60, 70 maybe in some cases. It's just not good. You cannot inject the third world into first world and expect anything less than catastrophe, and that's what we're going to get.
But my theory is they do that on purpose because
of course they
do. I told you,
yes.
I think I told you the story. A friend of mine who is OPP, which is Ontario Provincial Police, he told me a story about two immigration officers he knew that both resigned because they received instructions from, you know, Ottawa, which is our version of Washington D.C. saying that under no circumstances allow any white people to receive an immigration visa. So whites cannot immigrate to Canada, and instead we've got, you know, you name it, we've got a whole plethora of third world people. But these third world people are a destructive force. That's why they're prioritizing people
from
the third
world. That's why they're here.
That's why they're here. They're a destructive force. It's an attack on our society. Now, I know that sounds racist and all that, but really, if you think it sounds racist, go to the no-go zones. Go walk down the street there for, you know, go live there for a weekend, and you will realize that, you know, these people are not compatible with first world society. They just aren't. Everywhere they go, it's high crime and violence and garbage and graffiti and vandalism, and, you know, they destroy everywhere that they go. That's just the fact, and that's why they're here.
It's true.
You know, the powers that be that rule our countries are through our, you know, fake government do that on purpose. So, I mean, I know it from firsthand. White people not allowed in, and, you know, all the Afghanis and Somalians and Nigerians, fine, that's no problem. Anyways, but the good news is they haven't completely infiltrated the small town. And so I'm in a small town hospital. Everybody is white. And everybody is so nice, Jeff. They were wonderful people, the nurses, the orderlies, the doctors. They looked after me. They were very polite and friendly. And I spent a lot of time talking to them, you know, and getting to know their life stories a little bit. And the fact is that they're good people, Jeff. They're good people. People in small towns. You know, the nurse, my nurse, she was, you know, mother of four kids, and she gave birth to two surrogate children for other families and volunteers.
Oh, my. That's quite a story. That's quite a story.
Yeah, that was quite a story. Yeah, and she was great, you know, and so were the other ones, too, everybody. I spoke to them all. because that's what I like to do. I like to get people's stories.
Well, see, that's the side of humanity that we're missing so much of now. It's just not there. It used to be everywhere. Anyway,
I know, and that's why I wanted to get their stories, because I'm fascinated by this, because, oh, my God, there's good people. And I tell people, like, everybody's pretty much black pills now, right?
Yeah.
They've given up on humanity. I hear that all the time. I'm done with humanity.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, probably, you know, like 80% of humanity, first of all, we know they're NPCs. They have no self-awareness. They don't have an internal dialogue. They're basically, you know, the living dead. They're zombies. So 80%, yes, let's write them off. They're useless for any practical purpose. And then, well, the other 10%, they might not be zombies, but they're probably pathological narcissists and psychopaths. So now we've got pure evil. But we still have 10% of the people that are good. Now, in America, you got what's your population level now? Nobody knows, right? 340 million?
Oh, around 35 maybe, but we've got a lot of dead people here. They brought in 15 million the last 3.5 years. I think we've got between 20 and 30 million Americans who are no longer with us. They're dead. Most of that has been made up by the illegal invasion of this country.
Yeah.
So we're pretty close to the same amount. But and furthermore, you wouldn't miss 1 out of 10 people over a 4-year period. You wouldn't notice.
No. But that still leaves 10%. And so that would mean... there's 30 million good people in America. 30 million.
I'll buy that. I do.
That's a lot of good people. So everybody that's, you know, so black-pilled. And listen, Jeff, I was black-pilled, I think, when I was like 15. I was reading history and philosophy and all that, and I went, holy shit, humanity's just a bunch of assholes, you know?
Right.
And... Right. And I remember making a resolution going, well, okay, I know humanity is, you know, despicable, and but you know what? I'm not going to join them. There's going to be one less asshole on the planet, and that's going to be me. And I've lived my life that way ever since, you know. I'm not going to be the asshole. I'm not joining it. If I'm being naive and gullible or whatever, so be it. But I'm going to be the one decent person still left on the planet. If I'm the last one, then so what? So I live my life that way. But I'm not the last decent person on the planet. In the United States, there's 30 million. Here in Canada, that would mean we have 3.5 million good people. So, folks, those of you, I'm always telling people, you got to work together in communities, small communities. You've got to find those 30 million people. You got to, here in Canada, you got to find those 3.5 million people.
You know, they are going to, and I think your figure is fairly reasonable, those are going to be an endangered species.
Oh,
real Americans, real patriots. Oh, yes, they are. Yeah.
Oh, they're coming for us. Yeah. So, I get out of the hospital. I'm finally released. It was only one night that I really had a big problem, and then the next night... I got up at like midnight because I wasn't sleeping well anyways. But I felt good enough. I checked myself out of the hospital and got in a wheelchair and I went downstairs. And I walked around the block. I walked around like 2 blocks at midnight. It's something I've always done, Jeff. I like walking around late at night.
Yeah.
And I felt fine. And I had a bit of a mystical experience.
Did they tell you to get out and walk, or did you just feel like you wanted to do that?
No, they didn't want me to go and walk. I was too sick to go and walk.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah.
No. I just wanted to do it myself. You know.
Uh-huh.
I just thought, well, I want to go outside. It wasn't cold. You know, summer's here.
You're talking to your inner voice, and that's great. I got it.
Yeah. No. My inner voice told me to get up and walk, and I did, and.
Good.
You know, I often tell this story that what set me on this path was an enlightenment experience I had when I was 12 years old in Holland around Christmas time. And it was the same thing in the middle of the night, I wake up for some reason. I had to go outside, and I snuck out of my uncle's house, tiptoeing down the stairs, went out the door, and I wandered through the whole city all night long. Huh. And it was a magical experience. The magic was that I had a real sense that I was alive, here now. This is the world. This is reality. And I'm in it. And what a miracle it is. And so I lived my life trying to recreate that experience, as so many of us do. So
yeah, I kind of recreated it. What you did was you turned your senses on and up to maximum. You were totally alive when you were out there. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's all about senses.
And so it was the same thing Friday night. You know, I'm totally alive. I'm turned on. You know, you see things, you hear things, you smell things, you sense things.
Right.
That you don't normally do. And I think probably coming close to death was had something to do with it, you know, and it kind of spurred me to get up and re-experience life again. So that was good. So I had overall a very good experience, you know. It was a nice hospital, nice people, good people, caring. They looked after me fantastic. And then everybody came to visit me at the hospital. Half the town came.
Oh, nice.
I've never been that popular in my life, Jeff. You know, 10 years ago, I could have dropped dead on the street in Toronto and nobody would even stop to look at you. But so this was very nice. I get home, I'm ready to start work, and I can't start up my computer. And Dixie said, because she was feeding the cats while I was in the hospital. So she said, I went in your bedroom. Your computer was whirling like a jet engine. Look, the computer was 20 years old, Jeff, you know, and it was on its last legs. I always use things until I can't squeeze any more use out
of
it, right?
Get your money out of them. I got it.
Yeah, no, Dixie bought me a new backpack for Christmas, and she keeps saying, how come you're not wearing your backpack? I said, well, I've still got the old one. She goes, yeah, but you got a new one now. I said, well, what I'm going to do is I wear the old one until it falls apart, and then I'm going to sew it together again, and then I'm going to wear it until it falls apart again. And when I can no longer sew it together, then I'm going to break out the new one. It's just, you know, I must have lived through the Depression in a past life.
Good day.
So anyways, the computer is fried. It completely burned out fried, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I lost 3 years' worth of work.
Awful feeling.
Yeah, you know. So
yes.
Dixie told her husband. Her husband told Daryl, and Daryl's, again, a friend of ours in the community here. He calls me up. He says, I'm coming over. I'm going to fix your computer. I didn't know it, but he was actually a computer repair person. So he came over the next day, picked up the computer, took it back with him, and he was able to save all my files and put them on a different hard drive.
What a blessing. So, well, how nice.
And I said, what do I owe you for that? Because I don't know, you know. Again, we don't really have a computer repair store in town. It's a small town, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's probably going to cost you $400 to get the files retrieved. He said, nothing, no charge. So, Jeff, again, this is life in a small town. People look after each other. They do things for you. I mean, if it wasn't for Dixie, I'd be dead. She was the one who insisted on taking me to the hospital and... you know, I asked Dixie, well, please email Jeff and tell him I can't make it. And
she did, and she was so nice when she wrote. I could tell you were in good hands. Great, great to read that for me. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. She loves you. Of course, we all love you here. And anyway, so that was the experience. I'm alive now. Again, I continue to be. But, Jeff, I don't know what it was, right?
So they weren't able to say, okay, this is the result of a long-term issue with your heart, your lifestyle. They couldn't put their finger on anything. Is that what you're saying?
No. Yeah.
Frustrating.
No. Mind you, I'll be honest with you. I I did feel there was something wrong with me for about a year. Like I'm more tired than I usually am, and you know, I get winded. Normally, I can bicycle up this giant hill without needing to stop for a rest, but then I couldn't bicycle. I had to stop and rest. And I attributed it to getting older, right? I'm 67, and even though I bicycle three times a week or more, I haven't been doing the weight training and the heavy cardio that I usually did. So I thought, well, it's because I'm not training as hard as I used to, and I'm getting old, and that's why I'm feeling more tired. But now I realize, and it's probably this thing was slowly building up in me.
I agree with that. 67, you've got a lot of years of service left in you, my friend. No, this is not the end by any means. You're fine.
Oh yeah, I figured
it's unfortunate that they can't give you a cause and effect here. That would be nice. But you just keep your weight down, eat clean like you're doing, go for walks, whatever. I think a lot of it has to do with extra body weight for many people, and then they tend to eat toxic foods. But seriously, if you can keep your weight down, that's a big part of the player. Here, you got to have that act. Go ahead.
They asked me, they said, do you know how much you weigh? I said, probably 230.
How tall?
6'1".
No, you want to be down to 180.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. So I'm 210.
All right. Well, you're within reach. You can do it. Just go slow. No crash diets. None of that.
No. I can do it. So anyways, and you know, I don't eat poorly or anything like that. I never drink pop. I never eat sugar. Mm-hmm. I never have a donut. I never, you know.
Well, it's an odd thing. It's very frustrating not to know.
Yeah. But it could be a lot of things contributing to it. It might be the 5G. It might be the chemtrails. It might be what they're putting in the water. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're poisoning the food everywhere you go. You can hardly buy anything that doesn't have poison in it. Yeah. Usually all I do is eat soft-boiled eggs, you know. And I've gone on a keto diet now. Steak, pork chops, soft-boiled eggs, just protein.
I'm not a big fan of that. I would suggest you really not do it for a horribly long time if you're going to do it. There's a lot of, I'm sure you're probably eating organic meat, organic eggs, trying to anyway. But the amount of negativity, when you consume a cell from another mammal, beef cell, that cell has waste products in it. Your body has to cleanse those waste products out of each cell before you can put the viable and valuable nutrition to work in your body. So it's not a free ride. You have to double work in a way. You got to clean those cells of their waste and toxins. So that's one thing I'm concerned about. The reason people feel better when they eat a steak, I feel better. They're eating adrenaline. They're eating mammalian adrenaline in that animal.
Right.
When that animal died, it knew it was going to be killed somehow. It was panicked. Adrenaline dumped into the system. It's still in the meat, and you're eating that adrenaline. So you're going to feel better. I understand by eating nothing but protein, you're going to lose weight. I get the theory, but check your sources. Try and keep it organic. It's my best bet at this point.
I will definitely look into that, Jeff. You know, like 2 days before this happened, I just came off a 3-day fast. So I do that.
Now that's interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I know. I went
There's
on
a lot to be
fast.
Said about how you come off of a fast too. Some people come off of a fast too quickly, and they can do some damage.
I only ate a little bit when I came off, because my stomach is shrunken, so I can't. I throw out more food than I eat because I can't eat it. It's too much.
What about cats?
So, the cats. You know, two fried eggs and a slice of toast, and I'm stuffed. You know.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't eat much to begin with. But,
well, you
anyways,
must have had a heck of a lot of people pulling for you. You got great people up there, special people, and I bet you that helped to a degree as well, all that good energy.
The community, they have a prayer team, right?
Uh-huh.
And so they send out an email to everybody in the community. So, you know, whenever anybody in the community gets sick or in the hospital, and we've had, you know, about half a dozen people in the hospital, they'll send out an email saying, so-and-so is in the hospital. Let's keep them in our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said, it was your prayers that got me up on Friday night to go out for a walk. Not that I'm converting to Christianity, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your prayers work. But there is a mechanism to that. I mean, positive energy is positive energy, whether they're giving it to you because they're a Christian or because they're a Buddhist.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it does affect you. Absolutely, I believe that. I did that with my Kung Fu brother when we were going to go to China. He suddenly got really sick. He had lupus, but it was under control, and then suddenly had a terrible remission, and he was going to have to cancel the trip.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my Qigong thing. I sent him energy, and 2 days later, miraculously, he was completely in remission. So I don't know, Jeff.
It's energy. Of course there's something to it.
Yeah.
Thought is energy. You betcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what else we want to touch on tonight here?
Well, I want to touch on something a little bit strange. Now, again, being part of a community is really good because you hear a lot of gossip, right?
Yeah.
And so I heard from one of the members of the community who has a friend who's a police officer who was speaking to another police officer, and that other police officer told him that the Canadian counterterrorism unit was monitoring a community here.
Your community? They got
nothing better
to do.
It wasn't my community. It was our sister community. You know, I've told you about we have my community here, but... you know, 40-minute drive away is a sister community that's like us.
Mm-hmm.
And they were monitoring specifically the roadhouse. I think I've told you there's one of our members runs a roadhouse. Oh, great food, you know, wonder food, all sourced local farmers. And the woman that runs it, I'm going to call her Miss V, is a 4'11". She looks like an Italian grandmother. She bakes cakes. She's a baker. She bakes cakes and pastries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're monitoring her restaurant. Now, the reason they're doing that is because members of the sister community, she's closer to them than she is to us. So they would go to her restaurant, and they would have their meetings there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently, what triggered it off was they were, now all our communities, we all have ham radios, and once a week we all do a ham radio check. Now when they did their ham radio check, one of the members of that community said a word that triggered it, and that's when they started monitoring that community.
Well, were they, let me ask you a question, were they monitoring real time and picked the word up, some human being, or is this an AI scan of what of the total traffic that's going back and forth?
I'm pretty sure it's an AI scan of it. I don't know if they have time to have a live person monitor, because there's a lot of ham radio clubs all over the country, and they're all chatting yippity-yap all the time, day and night, right? So to have somebody assigned to it to listen in, I don't, you know, too much manpower.
I wouldn't think so either, no.
Yeah, too much manpower. It's easier just to plug all the radio transmissions into a computer, set an algorithm to search for keywords. So here's the key word. I'm not going to say the word, because if I say the word, then at 4 o'clock in the morning, the FBI will be knocking on your door, and the RCMP will be knocking on my door, just for saying this word. So I'm going to say the word in two parts. The first part is Mille, and the second part is Sha.
Come on.
So you know what word I'm using. Yeah. So one of the guys on the ham radio said that, and he was talking about, they're Mille, and then Shia.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really a Mille Shia. They're a community support group, but we have, we have a security team. And this guy sort of, I guess, he let it go to his head. He's thinking that's a security team. And this is just for personal protection, right? We've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
It's to protect the farms. It's to protect people's property from looters and things like that. If that need should arise, we have a few members that are armed and willing to come out and take a look and make sure everything's all right.
Mm-hmm.
But he used that term. Now, that term, I got to be honest with you, Jeff, I think that scares the new world order shitless. That is the one thing that they are terrified of, that people should organize into communities. I think that also explains why I've been so shadow banned, because it's hard for me to believe I'm being targeted. And this whole, a few people suggested that my sudden illness was the result of being targeted as well. I don't know. I don't think so, because I'm just a small player, Jeff. Nobody knows. I got 18,000 subscribers. It's nothing. Why would they go to the bother of shadow banning me?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, I started thinking about it, and what it is I'm the most dangerous truth teller on the market, because I'm always telling people to work together, form communities, organize, get together, look after each other. This is like holy water to a vampire. With the new world order.
I thoroughly understand what you're saying.
Right?
Yes.
That's one thing that they're terrified of. That's why they do so much to always keep us divided and separate us every which way they can. You know, feminism to destroy the family, and diversity to destroy the high trust society, and left and right politics. And so one thing they do not want is for people to figure out, listen, we can work together, and we don't need these bastards. And so I think that's why I'm being so
divide and conquer. No, they don't.
Divide and conquer.
Strength in numbers. They don't want anything to do with that. You're right.
That's right.
I'm surprised that I'm saddened to hear that it's that bad now. We're getting the censorship online is beyond even my understanding of what it was. It's worse. The censorship
it's
growing all the time and getting terribly bad.
Yeah. For example, I wanted to post to Facebook. I told everybody I'm going to be on Jeff Renz tonight. And I posted a link to your website.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back. Due to our
community standards.
Our standards. Due to recent change. Well, this was Justin Castro. They came through with a law the other day, a couple of months ago, that you can't share information on social media in Canada. So they said we can't post this link to Jeff Renz. It's a link to your website.
That's
I can't
it
post
is.
It on Facebook.
And
yeah, that's all it was.
They quashed that.
They quashed that.
Sickening.
Oh, it's terrible what they're doing here. Well, this is a communist country. Let's not make any mistake about it. Canada is hideously communist.
You poor people up there, you good people in Canada, and I think at least as bad, maybe worse, are the good people in Australia. They have been really put through the ringer down there.
Yeah, it's all these Commonwealth countries that got hit hardest. So for American listeners, Commonwealth countries our people, our countries that still maintain a close relationship with the United Kingdom. So that includes Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And what are the worst communist countries? Canada, Australia, New Zealand.
No, we're right behind you if we're behind at all, but I understand.
A friend of mine was a couple of feet behind us.
Yeah, a friend of mine was kicked off. I don't want to mention the particular. It's a big organization. And he wrote back a pretty nasty letter. It's absolute nonsense that you claim you don't censor. Don't play that game. Anyway, he wrote him a nasty letter, and they wrote back. This is AI writing back. Hi,
right.
Thanks for getting in touch. We don't engage in censorship, but we do have moderation guidelines. We need users to follow to ensure the safety and the integrity of our platform. Our users,
yeah,
and our actors. I can see we closed your account, and it sounds like you didn't have an enjoyable time with us, and I'm sorry to hear that. If you have any more questions about our moderation policies, please let me know. Best regards, and it's an AI thing. So that's where it is now.
Yeah, I tested out some AI a couple of months ago. ChatGPT answered the question, why are Jews evil?
And that'll get you kicked.
Yeah, well, I got the whole politically correct. Well, that's generalizing a whole group of people, and that would always be wrong. And anyways, okay, whatever. But, you're not going to get a straight answer from AI. It's already been programmed to give you the answers that are in accordance with government-approved answers.
Correct. Totally correct. You know. Right.
Anyway, so that is the state of affairs. If you... And meanwhile, here in Canada, they're going full tilt boogie. They've raised the carbon tax 3 times. Now, I mean, people can't afford groceries here. Rent, people are paying, 80% of their income on rent. Because you can't rent anything. Now, thank goodness, again, I'm in a small town. Mm-hmm. If I were to rent a one-bedroom apartment in Toronto, I'd be paying 3 times what I'm paying now. 3 times. So
how do people do that?
I don't know.
How the hell do they do that?
They do it by working 2-3 jobs and going to the food bank and borrowing money from their families when they can.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's horrible. They're taxing us to death. They just passed another tax, a capital gains tax, which is, I think, 45%. So if you own a house and that house has gone up in value, the government wants to take 45% of the capital gains on your house. They want it now, not when you
45%.
Sell.
45%.
Yeah, they want it now. So if your house went up, let's make an even number, $10,000 in value this year, they want $4,500. Pay us now.
Not when you sell the house. They want it now.
No. They want it now, yeah.
That's insane.
That's absolutely insane. Absolutely. And so all the homeowners, listen, this is what communists do. I tried to warn the community. I said, listen, everybody that owns a house here, you are in danger. They'll come and take it. They will. What are you going to do to stop them? It's the government. I sometimes use a delivery guy. He's a nice guy. He runs his own delivery business called On the Mark. On Your Mark. His name is Mark. And that nice guy, so for $10, you go and pick up whatever you want. And so in the wintertime, I use him because it's too cold to bicycle to the store. And so I got to know him. I get to know him very good. Very well. And he was telling me that the income tax, here it's called Revenue Canada, but it would be the IRS in Canada, in the United States, told him they want him to pay his income tax quarterly. Not at the end of the year when you're supposed to do your income tax, right? They want him to file quarterly, and if he doesn't do that, they'll charge him $5,000 every quarter, plus late fees.
Oh, my. See, they're trying to destroy your entire culture.
Absolutely. This guy works 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Gotcha.
And but they want $5,000 from every 3 months.
Sickening. Truly
sickening.
Where we're headed. Listen, you go rest, get better, keep getting stronger. CoQ10, the best you can find. I've got some other things to suggest. I'll get them together for you. To strengthen the heart, it's a good thing to do. But most importantly, to have the support of your friends there that's magic. That's wonderful stuff.
Big difference, Jeff. My computer's fixed. I'm up and running. I got a new computer.
No.
I got a new laptop.
That's great.
Yeah. But again, there's good people out there. I just want to say that to the listeners. Don't get too black-pilled. I know everybody has to deal with assholes every day, all day.
Yeah.
But in here and there in between, you just got to go out and find them. And we have to stick together.
Good guidance. The best guidance we can think of. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you next month, if not before.
Thanks, Jeff. And thanks again for sending me those emails. It really meant a lot to me.
Well, you mean a lot to me and a lot of other people out there. And say hello to everyone in the community, all of you listening. You are very good people, the best. Take care of this man. All right, Stefan. Talk soon.
All right, Jeff.
Take care. Bye, dear.
Good night.
Good night. Okay. He's in great hands. What a nice story. We will be back Monday. In the meantime, lots to think about. Watch this this insane program of, pushing us to nuclear war. How else do you phrase it? All right. Take care. Thanks for being out there. You matter. Talk soon.